This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Not at all.
Nah. All right. Welcome back. Midday show.
But I respect the fact that ESP likes this music. This ain't banging in my truck.
Here's what we need to do. We try to get Elliot in the proper football mindset when he joins us.
I don't think you have to do that. Elliot has been on fire, except for his grade that he gave a quarterback last week. I got to push back a little bit on that one, because I think he gave him an A.
All right, Elliot Shorepark's calling, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seed. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
You know, I was going to say, I made an emotional decision after that game, getting Jalen today. And then that song comes on, you feel emotional all over again. So maybe I'm ready to defend the grid.
No, I'm seriously, Elliot, an A? An A?
Nah, so Jalen shouldn't have gotten an A on that report card for the game. I just think in general, if you lead a game-winning drive on the road against that team in that stadium, initially, you deserve some big-time credit for
no,
that.
No, big-time credit.
Really good.
Big-time.
He was good in the fourth quarter, yeah. But having rewatched it a few more times, that was probably more a C-minus performance.
See, well, now we're cool, because that's what I thought.
I think a B is fair.
If you would have gave him a B, I would have been okay with that. I said C plus, but if you'd gave him a B, I wouldn't have pushed back. But I'm like, Elliot was drinking the Kool-Aid. That's the first time I can say that. Yeah, you got too wrapped up in the moment, dog.
I do like this. This should be a new thing where people that give grades use emotion on the grade. I got emotional.
Don't we use emotion every day?
Yeah, but usually graders are a little bit less emotional.
Okay, right?
That's usually what it is. All right, Elliot, let's talk about all this, including the coach and the quarterback. We're on the quarterback, so let's start there. Elliot, you watched it, you rewatched it. What do you think about the way Jalen played? And now let's get to the turnovers, because it's just piling up now. Six turnovers in three games. Only Will Levis has more so far this season among quarterbacks. What did you see upon rewatching?
Yeah, so I think there's two problems Jalen has had this season, and both of them kind of showed up against the Saints. One is obviously the turnovers. I mean, you guys have repeated it at length, but worth saying again, not only is he number one in the league in turnovers since week one of last year, but this season, he's number one in the league in turnover-worthy play. So while Will Levis might have more turnovers, no quarterback has put the ball in harm's way more than Jalen. And I think you obviously saw that against the Saints. I know, you know, Devontae could have ran a better route there, but Tyrann Mathieu was just sitting there waiting for that ball to be thrown. So I think Devontae could have run the best route possible, and at worst, that's an incompletion. And what happened is the most likely outcome is the interception. So the turnovers are something that cannot continue. The team will not be able to keep winning if that happens. But the other thing I think Jalen has not been great at this year is getting rid of the ball quickly. Too often you see plays where a receiver is open, but because Jalen holds or hesitates, it throws off the timing of the play. And it's not always a bad play, because he does make good plays with his legs, but I do still think he's holding on to the ball too long in the pocket.
Elliot, let's get to the head coach now, who it's been two straight weeks of a lot of fire for him, and this one off of a win. I mean, they won the game Sunday, and yet there's a lot there. Elliot, we could talk about the decisions, but I'm curious if you think this is going to start to become a distraction. Every Eagles player that I've heard speak this week is asked about the head coach after a win. It feels like it's the biggest story around the team, what Sirianni does, what he doesn't do, his in-game decisions. Do you think the Sirianni stuff is going to be a distraction if this continues?
No, I don't think so. But also, I would say that right now Sirianni is playing a valuable role for this team, which is he is covering up the criticism for Jalen. Right? If there was a different head coach or a head coach that people, you know, liked, which I think it's unfair that Nick's not more popular in this city, but a head coach that people liked, I think Jalen would be catching more criticism. So, you know, you're right that a lot of the players, almost all the players, are asked about Sirianni, but they'd probably prefer that to being asked about Jalen, which felt like all offseason every player got asked about his leadership and all those things. So right now, Nick catching the blame and being at the center of the criticism is probably a better outcome for the Eagles than if it was Jalen.
As you say that, the name that came to my head, Elliot, there's some Gabe Kapler circa 2018-19 when the team wasn't good enough and he took all the heat for every little thing he did, and that he was a shield for those players. All right, so Elliot.
Well, I can give you what about another example more recent with this team, Doug Peterson. I mean, in 2020,
right,
everyone convinced himself Doug wasn't a good head coach anymore, right? Like Doug was the problem. Doug was the problem. And that ended up not being the case. The problem was the quarterback. And you saw even in Jacksonville, Doug Peterson went to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence played well. They made the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence not playing well. They're not making the playoffs. Like, we can talk about the head coach all we want. The quarterback has the biggest outcome on this team, as the biggest outcome on how this team plays. So I just think we're missing the point here, focusing on Nick.
I agree with you. This season and this week reminds me a lot of 2019 when Carson was going the wrong way in his career and the questions were about Doug and the bigger issue was the quarterback. And I think similar here. It's the bigger issue is Jalen's trajectory. That's going to decide the next 2 years of this franchise.
And I know we've talked a lot about Nick's decision-making last week against Atlanta, this week against the Saints. If you look in 2022, when Jalen was playing at a high level, No head coach in the NFL added more win probability to their team than Nick Sirianni with his decision-making. What he did on fourth down, what he did in terms of kicking field goals versus going for touchdowns. No head coach added more if you look at the numbers. So when he has good quarterback play, Nick knows how to call a game. And I do think he is making the correct decisions for the most part this year. The decision at the end of the first half, I disagree with it, but the play's not executed well, which is why it doesn't work. And I think when you have a quarterback that is inconsistent, which is what Jalen is right now, A, it makes making decisions harder because you don't know when to trust your quarterback to make a play, but B, the results aren't as good because the quarterback's not as good. So Nick can make the right calls. It's just the players and the quarterback this year aren't executing, in my opinion.
Wait. Wait a minute, hold up, because I kind of blanked out for a minute. Are you defending the going for it on fourth down? I mean, instead of kicking the field?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Go, Elliot.
No, so at the end of the first half, I would have kicked the field goal.
Okay.
So on the fake tush-push play, I would have kicked the field goal.
Okay, I was just making sure. Just making sure.
Yeah, but if you look at that game, he made four big decisions on fourth down, and he got three of them right. So this idea that they won the game despite Nick on the sideline, like making all these bad decisions one after the other, just isn't true. They really won that game despite the fact that Jalen had the two turnovers. That was the biggest holdback in that game. It wasn't Nick. It was Jalen's turnover.
Bad decision, though, Elliot. That was just bad. I mean, that's just like, you know what I mean?
But it wasn't as bad as the turnovers.
No, but still, Elliot, that decision not to take the points before the half is just bad.
It was not good. Elliot, let's unpack the other part of the decision. It's one thing to decide to go for it on fourth down, right? And you're right, he's been mostly aggressive since he got here, 2022, super aggressive. That's one thing. Let's go for it on fourth down. Okay. The other part of it, Elliot, was that he called the play. It wasn't Kellen Moore. It was Sirianni saying, let's go for it, and we're running the play I want to run here. And then after the game, and then again this week, he's kind of opening the box and letting us know that this is happening sometimes. He won't unveil how often. Elliot, what do you make of that? Because now we have a Pandora's box open of how often is Sirianni taking the play call away from Kellen Moore?
Yeah, so to me, this is a non-story because it happens with every single head coach, whether you're the one calling the plays or not. When Shane Steichen was here, there were times Nick called the play. When Brian Johnson was here, there were times, a lot of times, Nick called the play. And with Kellen Moore here, there are going to be times where Nick calls the play. So, you know, the play he called did not work. It is not the play I would have called. But, yeah, I mean, if Nick's going to tell us these things, it certainly opens him up to criticism. But this idea that Nick was just standing on the sideline listening to the play call every time with no input, it was just never true. Like, we could have pretended that was the world we lived in, which makes this seem like a bigger deal. But every single play that is called, Nick has his fingerprints on, whether it was during the week deciding what plays they like in certain situations or whether it's just talking to Kellen during the play calling process deciding what to do.
Do you worry? I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, this was inevitable. Do you worry that there's going to be too many cooks in the kitchen at some point here? I go back to 2020, the year they didn't even have a coordinator, right? And it was Scangarello and it was Morningway. When I hear Sirianni talking about Jason Michael, I mean, he said his name like five times this week. Do you worry there's too many cooks in the kitchen here for the offense to be as good as we want it to be?
No, because I think there's just as many cooks as there's always been. Kitchen, right? Like when Brian Johnson was in the kitchen, right? This was the same process. When Shane Steichen was in the kitchen, it was the same process. The difference is once they put those ingredients out on the field, the quarterback's not playing as well. So 2020 was an issue with Scangarello and all these guys because the quarterback didn't play as well. This year, the fake tush push didn't work because the tight ends missed their block. Saquon got tackled. Like you look at the Philly special, and I think this is such a perfect play call to talk about when talking about play calling. If Nick drops that pass, that is viewed as one of the worst calls in the history of the Super Bowl. Right before the half, trick play, what are they doing, right? But he catches it. So it is one of the best plays in Eagles history. So often with play calling, that dictates whether it was a good call or not. And so we can talk about the play caller like we did last year when everyone ripped Brian Johnson for a full year. But this year it looks the same. Why? Because the quarterback is the same.
Well, the quarterback's got to be better. I think we all agree on that one. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. I'm sure we'll have more of this lively discussion coming up next week and when we talk to him in the pregame Sunday. Thank you, Elliot.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks clearly putting this more on the Hurts situation than the side.
No, he's a Coach Sirianni fan.
He's a Sirianni guy, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that, Elliot. If you're listening, and I'm not saying it like I'm getting on you because you are, just like, like you was going, like I just had to make sure you weren't defending that play, you know.
Well, no one could defend that play.
I mean, I like ESP. I like the input that he brings, but I was about to say, if he was defending that play, I'm like, hold up, dog.
We haven't heard one person since Sunday say, you know what, going for that fourth down before halftime, that was smart.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really awesome. That was the way to do it. 215-592-9494. Coming up, an injury update from Adam Schefter. Could A.J. Brown potentially return this week? And Darius Slay on the cheap shots handed out by the Saints. We'll hear all that next. Your phone calls. Bigger concern moving forward. Sirianni or Hurts? It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.